My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again. Seems like we've been on a bit of a sabbatical, but a lot has been going on and many wonderful things have occurred. Obviously, we've all seen many challenges around the world and in our own country here in the United States. And I'm reminded of the fact that each and every day we need to look for the good. We need to recognize the many blessings that Heavenly Father bestows upon us and look for those tender mercies of the Lord every chance we get. Because they're there, sometimes we just don't recognize them. So as I think about the things that are going on in the world today, the pressures that are on families, I want to go back and revisit something that occurred 26 years ago. It was a rather amazing thing that occurred. As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have a leader of our church that we refer to as the president of the church, but he's also viewed as and is believed to be a prophet, a seer, and a revelator. And he is joined with two counselors. And there is, in addition to those three who form what we call the first presidency, a quorum of 12 apostles, and all 15 of these brethren are sustained and believed to be prophets, seers, and revelators, as talked about in the New Testament, as well as the Old Testament. The brethren frequently have the opportunity to receive direct revelation from Heavenly Father. And as they, in 1995, 94 and 95, were looking at the condition of the world and specifically the onslaught that was occurring on families, they received inspiration to issue something that has been profoundly significant for the 16 million members of the church around the globe, as well as an impact that it has had on world organizations, including the United Nations and other interfaith organizations. And it is known as the family, a proclamation to the world. Now, interesting to note that this was presented to a select group within our church by President Gordon B. Hinckley on the evening of September 23rd, 1995, when he was addressing the Relief Society, General Relief Society meeting that was held in Salt Lake Temple on that date. And this representation, the Relief Society, is an organization of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for women who are aged 18 and older. And currently, there are more than 7.1 million members of the Relief Society, which makes it the largest women's organization in the world. So as I review a little bit of that talk that President Hinckley gave to the Sisters of the Relief Society 26 years ago, as he then presented to them this proclamation, it's interesting to note that there was much prayer and much preparation that went into the development of this proclamation and the reason for it. Now, President Hinckley, addressing the body of the General Relief Society, gave a talk that was entitled "Stand Strong Against the Wiles of the World." He said, "What a mighty congregation of women you are. There are 3.5 million of you. You live in many lands, and you speak with a variety of tongues. But you understand with a single heart. Each of you is a daughter of God, reflect on all the wondrous meaning of that one paramount fact. He, who is our eternal Father, has blessed you with miraculous powers of mind and body. He never intended that you should be less than the crowning glory of his creations. I remind you of words spoken by the prophet Joseph Smith to the women of the Relief Society in April of 1842. Said he, quote, "If you live up to your privilege, the angels cannot be restrained from being your associates," close quote. What marvelous potential lies within you. This evening, as I look into the eyes of beautiful younger women who dream of lives of accomplishment and happiness, I look into the eyes of mothers who carry their hearts, anxieties concerning their homes and their children. I look into the eyes of single parents whose burdens are so heavy and who in their loneliness plead and pray for strength and companionship. I look into the eyes of grandmothers and great-grandmothers whose years are many, who have weathered the storms that have beat upon them and who have drunk deeply from the waters of life, some of them brackish, some of them sweet. I am grateful for the presence of each one of you. I am grateful for the strength that you have and for your loyalty, your faith, your love. I am thankful for the resolution which you carry in your hearts to walk in faith, to keep the commandments, to do what is right at all times and in all circumstances. I believe this is the best season for women in all the history of the world. In opportunities for education, for the training of your hands and minds, there has never before been a time when doors were so widely opened to you as they are today. I remember that was 1995. But neither has there been a time, at least in recent history, when you have been confronted with more challenging problems. I need not remind you that the world we are in is a world of turmoil, of shifting values. Shrill voices call out for one thing or another in betrayal of time-tested standards of behavior. The moral moorings of our society have been badly shaken. So many of the youth of the world, and likewise so many of their elders, listen only to the seductive voice of self-gratification. You single young women face tremendous challenges, and we know it is not easy for you. I cannot say enough of appreciation for your determination to live by the standards of the church, to walk with the strength of virtue, to keep your minds above the slough of filth which seems to be moving like a flood across the world. Thank you for knowing there is a better way. Thank you for the will to say no. Thank you for the strength to deny temptation and look beyond and above the shining light of your eternal potential. Now, to you single mothers, whatever the cause of your present situation, our hearts reach out to you. We know that many of you live in loneliness, insecurity, worry, and fear. For most of you, there is never enough money. Your constant brooding worry is anxiety for children and their futures. How bitter are the fruits of casting aside standards of virtue? The statistics are appalling. More than one-fourth of all children born in the United States are born out of wedlock. That was in 1995. The most recent statistic I could find was 2018, which now has that at 40%, with a high of 69% in one specific ethnic group. President Hinckley went on to say, and the situation grows more serious. And I would add this, every year about 1 million more children are born into fatherless families. Children living in single-parent homes, the odds of living in poverty are great. Of the teens who give birth, 46%, again, these are 1995 statistics, of the teens who give birth, 46% will go on welfare. Of unmarried teens who give birth, 73% will be on welfare as well. Now to the grandmothers and great-grandmothers. May I say just a word? Tremendous has been your experience. Tremendous is your understanding. You can be as an anchor in a world of shifting values. You have lived long, buffed and polished by the adversities of life through which you have passed. Quiet are your ways, deliberate your counsel. You, dearly beloved women, are such treasures in this topsy-turvy society. God bless you. May your waning years be filled with sunshine, with the love of those whom you love, and with the love for, and with love for the Lord. I believe it should be the blessing of every child to be born into a home where that child is welcomed, nurtured, loved, and blessed with parents, a father, and a mother who live with loyalty to one another and to their children. I am sure that none of you younger women want less than this. Stand strong against the wiles of the world. The creators of our entertainment, the purveyors of much of our literature, would have you believe otherwise. The accumulated wisdom of centuries declares with clarity and certainty that the greater happiness, the greater security, the greater peace of mind, deeper reservoirs of love are experienced only by those who walk according to time-tested standards of virtue before marriage and total fidelity within marriage. We pray that as you walk the paths of life, you will walk in ways that are straight, with the strength to conform even those paths be narrow. President Hinckley says, I have touched lightly on some of the serious problems which confront many of you sisters. With so much sophistry that is passed off as truth, with so much of deception concerning standards and values, with so much of allurement and enticement to take on the slow stain of the world, we have felt to warn and forewarn. In furtherance of this, we, the First Presidency, and the Council of the 12 Apostles, now issue a proclamation to the Church and to the world as a declaration and reaffirmation of standards, doctrines, and practices relative to the family, which the prophets, seers, and revelators of this Church have repeatedly stated throughout its history. I now take the opportunity of reading to you this proclamation. Before I read the exact wording of the proclamation, I want to just add a personal perspective to this. As I went back to reread this talk given by President Hinckley in 1995, and by the way, since it was delivered at the time to the Sisters of the Church, I was a bit taken back when I read this recently, to hear his very direct language and the underpinnings of the reason and the motivation for the revelation that was given to these brethren to issue such a bold proclamation. Now, there are parts of this proclamation which, when you think about this being issued 26 years ago, there were things in this proclamation that did not seem to be relevant. But boy, oh boy, as you listen to what I'm about to share, the relativity of these doctrines and principles are even more significant today than they were 26 years ago. So here goes. We, the First Presidency and the Council of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, solemnly proclaim that marriage between a man and a woman is ordained of God, and that the family is central to the Creator's plan for the eternal destiny of His children. All human beings, male and female, are created in the image of God. Each is a beloved spirit son or daughter of heavenly parents, and as such, each as a divine nature and destiny. Gender is an essential characteristic of individual, premortal, mortal, and eternal identity and purpose. Let me reread that. Gender is an essential characteristic of individual, premortal, mortal, and eternal identity and purpose. In the premortal realm, spirits, sons, and daughters knew and worshiped God as their eternal father and accepted his plan by which his children could obtain a physical body and gain earthly experience to progress toward perfection and ultimately realize his or her divine destiny as an heir of eternal life. The divine plan of happiness enables family relationships to be perpetuated beyond the grave. Sacred ordinances and covenants available in holy temples make it possible for individuals to return to the presence of God and for families to be united eternally. The first commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve pertained to their potential for parenthood as husband and wife. We declare that God's commandment for his children to multiply and replenish the earth remains in force. We further declare that God has commanded that the sacred powers of procreation are to be employed only between man and woman, lawfully wedded as husband and wife. We declare the means by which mortal life is created to be divinely appointed. We affirm the sanctity of life and of its importance in God's eternal plan. Husband and wife have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord, 127:3. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness, to provide for their physical and spiritual needs, to teach them to love and serve one another, to observe the commandments of God and to be law-abiding citizens wherever they live. Husbands and wives, mothers and fathers will be held accountable before God for the discharge of these obligations. The family is ordained of God. Marriage between man and woman is essential to his eternal plan. Children are entitled to birth within the bonds of matrimony and to be reared by a father and a mother who honor marital vows with complete fidelity. Happiness in family life is most likely to be achieved when founded upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Successful marriages and families are established and maintained on principles of faith, prayer, repentance, forgiveness, respect, love, compassion, work, and wholesome recreational activities. By divine design, fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness and are responsible to provide the necessities of life and protection for their families. Mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children. In these sacred responsibilities, fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. Let me reiterate that. In these sacred responsibilities, fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. Disability, death, or other circumstances may necessitate individual adaptation. Extended family should lend support when needed. Now, this gets pretty serious, what's going to conclude here. We warn that individuals who violate covenants of chastity, who abuse spouse or offspring, or who fail to fulfill family responsibilities, will one day stand accountable before God. Further, we warn that the disintegration of the family will bring upon individuals, communities, and nations the calamities foretold by ancient and modern prophets. We call upon responsible citizens and officers of government everywhere to promote those measures designed to maintain and strengthen the family as the fundamental unit of society. We commend to all a careful, thoughtful, and prayerful reading of this proclamation. The strength of any nation is rooted within the walls of its homes. We urge our people everywhere to strengthen their families in conformity with these time-honored values. May the Lord bless you, my beloved sister. Now, this is President Hinckley concluding his talk. May the Lord bless you, my beloved sisters. You are the guardians of the hearth. You are the bearers of the children. You are they who nurture them and establish within them the habits of their lives. No other work reaches so close to divinity as does the nurturing of the sons and daughters of God. May you be strengthened for the challenges of the day. May you be endowed with wisdom beyond your own in dealing with the problems you constantly face. May your prayers and your pleadings be answered with blessings upon your heads and upon the heads of your loved ones. We leave with you our love and our blessing, that your lives may be filled with peace and gladness. Can be so. Many of you can testify that it has been so. The Lord bless you now and through the years to come. I humbly pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, this proclamation was read by President Gordon B. Hinckley as part of his message at the General Relief Society meeting of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, held on September 23, 1995, in Salt Lake City, Utah. I would add my personal testimony that I know that these prophetic words, while given 26 years ago, seem to have even more importance now than they did then. And we all can recognize the many challenges that we face as a society and as individuals and especially as families. The family is under attack. The adversary, yes, the very devil himself, has great plans, great hopes, great desires bring much pain and suffering on individuals, and by doing the destructive work on families, he's able to achieve some of his objectives. It's sad to realize that so many of our ills in society are because of the breakdown in the family. So I would encourage each of us, as we think about the words of prophets, seers, and revelators, to rededicate ourselves to being the very best that we can be to those for whom we have a stewardship, whether as a grandparent, a parent, and even as brothers and sisters, in Christ. May we be mindful of others who have challenges, who need our help, who need strength and support in the rearing of their children. May we look beyond our own four walls and recognize that we can be an agent for good and that we can serve one another and help to nurture our future generation. This is my hope, my prayer, and this is my testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.